God bless.
God bless you, Master.
What a joy it is to sit here and to listen to your prayer and to know all is well within your heart. To know you have come united as one family to talk of your God, to learn of Him, to understand Him, and to take His words abroad to all countries and nations. Not just to your neighbor, not just to the next village town, the next country. And this is the mission. This is the salvation. Your truth and your love will grow. You will come to know one another more clearly. And love each other more deeply than ever before. Even as we speak now, we are united in love with your absent brother, although he is thousands of leagues away from any boat. He is here in this room with you in the spirit. Is this not a wonderful thing? When we can extend ourselves across oceans and land just to be a thought of love. Swifter than a boat, faster than the wind, quicker than light, is formed, is given, is received, all in the twinkling of an eye, a thought of love. Keep this in your heart, always, not just for us, but for all your fellow beings, wherever they are. I talk across mankind, for these are your brothers now, and you must embrace with your love, because your words will be heard by them. This is to be. You understand? Hey, Brother John. You have been chosen to lead this delegation of God. And you have been chosen to guide them with your wisdom. And the love you have attained throughout your years of dedication to his love and to the love of his children. So it is therefore a great responsibility is laid upon the shoulders. And we know that there are ears who would hear things which are not said here. There are minds which will create for those ears things that were never said. You understand what I am saying? And so we will promise a vow to you. You will be protected. You understand it?
Yes, thank you.
Good night, now then, Brother John, which things do you wish to discuss with yourself?
Christ died for our sins. Is this the true interpretation by spirit? Secondly, how far is the rite of Holy Communion with bread and wine symbolic, and how far does it reflect the spirit truth?
Brother John, let us first take this first question you ask yourself. Please repeat it once again for us.
Yes. St. Paul wrote, Christ died for our sin. Is this according to the Spirit teaching?
Is it known and understood here?
Yes.
That the Christ was the prime example of God here on this earth. You understand me?
Yes.
And he was ordained to teach man every aspect of life and to understand every aspect of life. He walked this earth in such a way that man for all time was about to fall in love with him. You understand me, brother? But it was a deep love, a spiritual love. Christ taught the opposite to see. He tried to make man understand all of his day that to love was to live. And I don't mean to live here on this earth plane. I mean to love as you should truly love, is to live eternal life. To live an eternal pathway before God. And through his realms, and through the spheres or the levels of awareness, whichever you wish to call it. According to your progression, according to your love. I told you once before, there are levels of awareness which man must pass through according to his being. For instance, if a man is a wealthy man and a greedy man and has taken all his treasures on earth and hoarded them to him and shared them with no one, he must go through a low plane and come to terms with his greed. I am not saying he is going into the pits of deprivation or whatever you wish to call it. You understand it? He is going to have to stand still, as it were, at the gates, and put himself into rights. If you are going to be scolded by your Bibari, you will stand outside his room and you will shiver. And you will try to put it right, and you will try to make your mind think as it should think, so you can understand the wrongs you have done. And so it is as we go into this eternal plane. We must come to terms with all these things we do wrong in life. We must look at life before you can ever put yourself into the realms of higher awareness. Some have become confused and lost, and we have it to raise here. Some will struggle and know turmoil within themselves until they have come to terms with those things they have not put right in their life, and will be given the opportunity, some will say, to return and live this lesson again until this lesson is learned. Christ, in his love for man, knew these things. He knew the turmoil that man would have to face once he steps from this life into the next. And he knew that man would have to come to terms with himself and strip himself naked and search himself and bear himself before his fellow men on this level until he could truly enter into the higher levels of awareness. He had to cleanse himself. How many times have we said that there is nothing of the spirit world, of the higher levels of awareness, that is not divine? And before they can come to this level of awareness, they must be purified and protected and cleansed and kept in this way in order to touch these times. And so it's important, instrumented, and all of you who are going to commune with God in this way must keep yourselves clean and free from sin and pure in thought, in word, in heart, in love, in deed, all these things. This is why we spend so much time teaching you this. to prepare you, to teach you the love you must understand, and the cleanliness of that love, a love free from sin. Christ, he tried to do this. He did this to his apostles. He taught them. He taught them all these things. Be pure. Be holy. Love one another. Because he wanted man to evolve into his Father's kingdom without the pain and the suffering and the turmoil of having to strip himself bare. Christ had to prove this to man. He had to prove that because he loved man so much, because he fulfilled the law and the love of God here on earth, and because he carried his commandments and obeyed them to the letter, and because he lived his life as an example of all these commandments, he was able to go straight into his Father's kingdom. He was able to evolve straight into the high levels of awareness. A rich pasture to be in. And he wanted to come and show his disciples. He had done this. He had done this. And so you see, Brother John, it could truly be said, Christ died in order to prove that we could be cleansed of our sins here on this earth plane by living his example. Do you understand what I am saying to you, Brother John? He had to do it to prove it. He died to cleanse us from our sins, if you wish. But moreover, and more importantly, he died because of man's sins. You understand this, Brother John? There is a difference.
Great difference there.
He died because man was a sinner.
Yes.
Yet in another sense, because he wanted to prove to man that he could evolve without fear and without restriction, simply by loving and living as he lived, and loving as he loved, setting the examples that he said, man could evolve straight into the arms of God, as it were. Do you understand now? Is this answer for your question?
Yes. Some aspects of the church teach that God sent his Son to avenge a wrathful God. Terrible, terrible thought, I know. But some aspects of the church teach that it was only through the purity of the blood of Christ that a wrathful, vengeful God became appeased. Terrible.
Bello, mamma mia. And yet they really say to you, the Lord thy God is a loving God. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of grace. He's a God of peace. And why do they say these things in their heart? God was vexed with man. This is so, Brother John. Because there was so much of a continuation of the kind of a behavior found in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, the God was vexed by this, and he turned a lot away from this because he saw in Lot a man who could carry his word, and he is a lovely God. He tried to do this with the Moses. He sent many warnings about begging man to live. To live a peaceful and loving life. To live a truthful life. To live pure. All because he wanted them to make a clean transition into his kingdom. Every time was for the same reason. You could almost take the words of Christ when he said, "Suffer the little ones come unto me, for such are the kingdom of heaven." Was he not always saying this through Lot and through Moses, through all his other prophets, through Abraham, through Joseph? "Suffer the little ones come unto me, and I will give them rest, for such is the kingdom of heaven." They were born in purity, Brother John. They were born cleansed, pure and whole, and were uncontaminated by the frivolity and the blindness of man, by his lust, his greed, his vengefulness and his disobedience to God. So man became corrupted, and God had to take his steps. He couldn't keep on destroying his children in his way to punish them. It was not his wish. So he sent his Son Christ to bless the earth with a true example of the Christian love, of his spiritual love, of his spiritual truth. To give by example just what this love contained for man. The many gifts of the Spirit. The gift of evolvement. The gift of growth. He made him try to understand that man's greatest gift is his free will. And if he used this free will to walk a pathway to God, to walk a clean and wholesome pathway, keeping himself pure and holy, he would enter into the kingdom of heaven. How could a vengeful and vexed God put a man such as Christ on the earth to set such as an example as he did? If he was all that these people are saying of him, and he was an angry God, jealous God, a vengeful God, would he not have destroyed man straight away? He cleansed the earth and purified it with his word. He took a seed from man, a pure seed, and allowed him to grow once again and to multiply. He told his Son, "No, go forth and multiply." And he did. He gave man another chance. Man has been too blind, too lustful, too greedy, to realize the full truth and consequence of these things in their lives. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, Brother John?
Yes, indeed.
So, I really say, in answer to your question, there is no such a thing as a vexed and angered God. There is only such a thing as a guilty man. You understand?
Well said. Very
beautiful thing.
Well said.
Was that a guilty man? I have learned these many things.
That's the way.
Maybe he's only a guilty man with terrible conscience to bear.
Yes.
Who really struggle for the answers and struggle for someone else to blame for his folly. And so he blames a God because he feels that God cannot answer back. God is too wise to answer back because he knows he is going to come to him one day and answer for his sin. You understand it?
Yes.
Daily. soul, again the answer to your question. Christ died because of man's sins. He also died ultimately in his own heart because he loved his children of God. He gave his life without any intent to defend himself, because he knew he had fulfilled his task, in that he had left behind, in the hearts and the beings of his apostles and disciples, those who would continue his word, and his word would not die, and neither has it. And neither will it. You understand this?
Yes, thank you.
Is this answer now the question?
Yes, that's beautifully answered. Do you want to answer the second part?
Remind me now.
Yes.
Because I haven't talked too much of the last one.
No. You see, we have to introduce words, Marcelo, which are proper to theology.
Si.
This word that's coming is the covenant. How far are the bread and wine symbols of the covenant that Christ made between God and man?
When Christ sat with his disciples, he said to them, when he broke bread for them, take it, for this is my body. You understand?
Yeah.
With the wine, he said, take this in remembrance of me. This is my blood. You understand? You see, Brother John, the level of awareness of men in those years was very poor. And Christ knew this. He wanted to show them, as a young little child with elementary things, to create a truth in their hearts of what it is you wish to teach them. And so he took the bread, he blessed it, to make it a holy thing. He blessed it to say, thank you to the Father for providing it. He blessed it because he knew that God is the giver of all things. And had he not already told him in the Sermon on the Mount, why take ye heed of raiment? Why take ye heed of today or tomorrow, or what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink? When God knows what you have in need of. I know this is not the true word, which is real, but is the basis of it. He was telling that God knows exactly what they have in need of. He really provided the bread, because he knew that man needs the bread, but he also knew man cannot live by bread alone. He has to live by his truth also. He has to take the sustenance of his faith in life and all those things around him. So the bread was really symbolic of the reality of life and all those gifts which God has given, that they may continue in life. Just as Christ was an example of the truth and love which God had given. So he was giving them sustenance and love. He was giving them food. Not only material food, but spiritual food. And this is how Christ saw himself, and all those things he taught. This is of me, he was saying. All I have ever taught you, all we have ever done, is what I feel in my heart. Take this, break it, take it and eat it. For this is symbolic of my body. This is symbolic of me. This is symbolic of your life, my life. And life is all one. Take the wine. Did he not take water once, Brother John, and he turned it into wine until it overflowed? Wine is a man's drink. It was the thing, the only thing he had to drink. He did not have the beverage, what you call it, that you have it today. It's either water or wine. Water, we know, is a pill. We know is a necessity. But wine contains something else. It contains the nourishment when taken in consideration. And it was because of the color of wine that Christ chose wine to symbolize his blood, which he knew he would be spilled. We can take these things every day of our life. And remember the moment when Christ stood at his table at his last supper and did these things for his disciples and taught them this simple comparison. The bread of the body, blood of the one. Remembering also, he told him, you are the fruits of the vine, by essence of the vine. He was trying to say to this, if you believe this, and believe also is a symbolic of my blood, which I am going to shed. Because we want you to live in peace. He is so accountable for his sins before God. And because of a man's sins, I know I must die. But the bread and the wine he was leaving in their hearts as a symbol of these things, as a symbol of himself, was also symbolic of what I spoke of before, Brother John. It was a symbolic of the fact that he died for mankind to make a clean transition into the Father's kingdom. You understand? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you see, man and his mythology, Portofathari, has taken this, and we do not condemn this. We love it, because he has continued to share these truths. And as long as this is practiced, man will always be aware of the reason why Christ died. If these words are printed, you understand it?
Yeah.
And so, Brother John, when you practice it, your Holy Communion, as you call it, when you make this a covenant to God, do it with a happy heart. And know that you have, like his disciples, remembered, you have remembered, not so much that incident in that little room, but you have remembered why he died and what he gave. in order that man should see his pathway through the love of Christ. Is this make happy now?
Thank you, Roger.
Is he fooled who will not share it? But is not for myself to condemn. Man must come to terms of this within himself. Some there are who cannot do it. But if a man can look into the heavens or look into himself, and do these things within his heart, and allow them to be a complete and holy part of him, then he has done likewise, and he has remembered the love of Christ. He's not always the follower, see, Brother John, and every man can come and give a worship and a kneeling prayer before you all. In the Father's house, that he would wish to do, is not always possible for him. But if a man takes these things into his heart, with the same thought and intention in mind, still with the same love of Christ in his heart, and the same desire to follow him, then so it will be. He also has taken his communion. You understand?
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
Is this
like
your happiness?
Yes,
thank you.
You reaffirm what's in one of
the areas.
You see, Marcelo, in about, I don't know, 3rd century, 200, about 100 years to 200 years after Jesus died, the true vessels of the Spirit were driven out by an intelligentsia. And that's how priesthood, I prefer to call it priestcraft, came on earth. And it was to subdue the people.
Priestcraft.
Instead of priesthood, came upon the earth to subdue the people, to exalt priestly power, and it was all wrong.
See, Brother John, they came into this earth a long time before them. They came into the earth in these forms, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priests of the temples, all were guilty, all condemned those who would not follow their pathway, all were too blind to see that each man, as I have said, is free to exercise the greatest gift God gave unto him, his free will. And man, only man alone, as an individual, can come to terms with that free will. And he must be free to exercise it and express it. And those who will stand in judgment over this, and who will try to control this, are the least in the kingdom of heaven. Think of your commandments, Brother John. Recite them to yourself, read them to your children afterwards. Christ said in his Sermon on the Mount once again, for whosoever should break one of these least commandments, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever will hold the dominion over a man in such a way and he cannot release himself and express himself to God in the way he sees fit and the way he wishes to do within his heart. He is not a servant of God, but he is one who prevents the release of love from a man's heart, and so enabling him to reach his heart is a restriction. You understand?
Yeah.
Brother John, talk about tales. Please do not feel guilty. Because Milton, we know so well that even though there are many, many orders around your priesthood and your ordination which demand that you should practice this and say that and do all these things according to the laws of the church. And we know that this is a subject. But we also know, Brother John, that in your heart there beats a true example of the love of Christ. And so we can make allowances for those who make these rules and restrictions, because we know that you have in your heart turned him away and he's spoken those things which are in your heart. This is not why you are here. It is why you are. Brother John, have you said all of you wish you to say to me?
Yes. You understand that I've said those things so that these dear ones here may learn. I wanted them to hear what the Spirit has to say.
Yes, to God. You must do these things as you will.
Yes, God bless you.
But talk about them within your heart, one among another.
Yes.
And look deep, very deep, for the essence of these things.
Yes, indeed, of course.
Is anyone who wish to make a quick, tiny question to myself?
Yes, I'd like to say one thing myself. It's something that I find sometimes very difficult to understand when Christ was on the cross. This is, I want the answer from Spirit, not from what we've read in our book. He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Would you like to just tell us about that?
Let us begin with that moment when he hung there, tortured and tormented by man, dying because of the sin I spoke of, the sin of ignorance,
yes,
and the destruction and the wish to cause pain, just like you, Baba. He had a mortal body.
Yeah.
And he had a mortal mind at this time.
Yes.
And he was feeling his pain. He knew this anguish, this torture, this torment, which was racking his body. Every muscle, everything was in anguish and trauma and pain, see, easy word, see. And just for one moment, just for a moment, he wanted to say to God, now I am ready, my Father. But how can I tell you this and at the same time make man understand, finally, that God does not forsake? And this was the last example he made when he said, Father, wherefore hast thou forsaken me? A moment later, he says that he's finished. And he gave up the ghost. As your book will tell you.
Yeah.
Is this not so, Father John?
Yes.
This was the final example of he made of his gift of love to man, to prove to man that once he had said this to the Father, why have you forsaken me? He knew that God had not forsaken him, and he knew that he would prove to him he had not forsaken him. He knew that he would take him, and so he said, knowing that he had left this last example, about to be proved by example, it is finished. Mm. And he had fulfilled his task on earth. Philip, you understand that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, thank you very much.
Is all of you happy with those things I have said to you? Is anyone who has a disturbed understanding, who would wish to talk with the eternal, is no one named? Is you are happy now, Brother John?
Yes, thank you. Bless you. I think everybody's very happy, Marcel.
Yeah, too much. They look to have the fruit of the Spirit. Eat, drink, and remember him. Brother John, if you have had his food, this is again your community and your covenant to him. You said it yourself. I will leave you now.
Bless you.
For there is others to speak.
Oh, Marcelo. See. Before you go. Would you ask the spirit band to bless this cross? And to give it meaning for its possessor, for the one who shall hold it and keep it in his room.
Hey, Brother John. The Zoro is saying that Zello must go, and this task will be performed by Gustav Emmanuel.
Lovely. Yes, bless you. Bless you, Mazzara.
I will say this before I go to you, Brother John. Has my explanation of the cross made you feel happy with this?
Yes, of course it has.
Has it been taken away from your heart and dread? It is a symbol of the last act of God.
Yes, quite true. Yes.
God bless
you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
It is to this cause that you are dedicated, ordained, and blessed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There you come. place this cactus in. And pray. Almighty Father, these tears I shed in his name. May they fall upon the symbol of his love. Wash and cleanse, and so cause it to be purified in thy love and in thy cause. May the symbol of his love, and of its suffering, and of its peace, and of its final cleanse, be forever in the hearts of the righteous. And may it symbolize within them the joy of sacrifice. Take this symbol from my hand. Receive it blessed. And may the love of God and of his holy angels and of those adorning spirits who come among you, revere, adore, and acclaim all those things of love and peace, the wishiest things last created, shall remain in your heart and in your cause, and protect you, and bless you, guide you, and keep you all the years of your life. The name of the one God, the one true living God, with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I bless you. I must leave you now, my children. I leave you in peace. I leave you in his name. I leave you purified and clean. Make his light to shine upon you. May the Lord redeem you in grace and in joy and in everlasting understanding of your cause. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.